In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is in our churchyard, just on the northern side here, a magnificent tree. I'm sure it's some form of a cedar tree. And if you've ever had a look at it, it's a tall and magnificent specimen. When I go around there, I kind of like to sort of, it always catches my attention. I like to look at it because it's so beautiful, so permanent looking, so strong looking. It's a fine example of a noble tree. I'm not 100% sure that it's a cedar of Lebanon, but it's some form of a cedar tree, and it looks very fine. And in biblical times, there were great forests of cedar trees growing in the Holy Land, in Syria, in Lebanon, and in Turkey. And they were the greatest of trees. A cedar of Lebanon can grow to be 1,000 feet tall. Well, not 1,000 feet, it can live for 1,000 years. It can live grow up to 100 feet tall, get that the right way around. A very tall tree. They have flat branches like that. They sort of stretch out like great hands from the trunk. And if you walk through a grove of cedar trees, they exude apparently a really fine smell from the resin that's exuded by the trunk. So it smells very beautiful to walk through a grove of cedar trees. And we read in the Bible that cedar trees are very popular for building. Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was made out of many, many cedar trees from Lebanon that were harvested and transported to Jerusalem. So much so that the temple was sometimes known as the Forest of the Cedars of Lebanon. And it had a nice sort of red tone to the wood, a strong wood without any knots, so it produced a very beautiful building. So you can imagine that those trees then were greatly celebrated in biblical times and were used by biblical writers to illustrate something about the character of God and something about the character of God's people. So the prophet Ezekiel in our reading today uses the cedar of Lebanon to illustrate what he wants to say about God and about the people of God and their place in the world. And he compares the people of Israel to those great, mighty, permanent-looking, strong, beautiful, wonderfully smelling trees that mirror the glory of God in creation. The trouble was, by the time of Ezekiel, the people of God were not looking so grand or permanent or fine. They were in exile in far-off Babylon. The great forest of God's people had been felled. And so the people of God are far from home. They're living in poverty. They're living in exile. And all seems hopeless. And the passage we heard from the prophet Ezekiel today is a prophecy of restoration and hope and new life. God is going to replant a sprig from the cedar of Lebanon and plant it so that new growth comes. It takes 3 years for a cedar of Lebanon to produce a pine cone that has within it seeds that are ready to plant. And it takes hundreds of years for that seed to grow into a mature tree. And so the works of God take time. The works of God are not about instant gratification. We have to wait upon the Lord in order to reach a sense of spiritual maturity. Becoming a mature person of faith takes time. Responding to God's call takes time. Understanding the purposes of God in our own time takes time. And aligning ourselves to the will of God takes time. So the people of God must be patient. They must wait for this mighty tree to grow. But God is working his purposes out, and he will plant a seed. And the prophet tells us that the sprig will be planted on a high and lofty mountain. It will produce fruit, and all the birds of the air and the creatures of the earth will find shelter beneath its branches. There's a wonderful picture of restoration and life after exile and loss. Well, Jesus was familiar with the works of the Old Testament. He would have been familiar with the passage from Ezekiel that we just heard. But he describes the people of God and the kingdom of God with a very different illustration. And in the gospel reading we heard just now, Jesus doesn't talk about mighty fine cedar trees. He talks about a mustard shrub. Well, I'm no gardener, but the first part of the gospel reading we heard probably sums up my approach to gardening very well. Scatter the seed on the ground and hope that something grows. Quite how that happens and when it's going to happen, who knows, but something will grow. One day something might look like a worthwhile shrub in the garden. Both the mighty seed tree and the mustard shrub produce very small seeds. But those tiny seeds are so full of potential. And the wind takes those seeds and blows it where it will, and they will sprout with small beginnings. So we're called to be like the mustard shrub that Jesus describes, the kingdom of God to grow as he describes, as the mustard shrub does. A person may be drawn to God by an act of kindness, by some friendship, by some support in difficult times. A new congregation might be planted of just two or three people in the most unlikely of circumstances. They might face persecution and hardship. But as those members live out their faith, as they follow and serve the Lord, then the seed will sprout. A new life will come in the name of the Lord. And such seeds are planted by us, among us, and around the world all the time. The Holy Spirit will produce fruit, and the kingdom will grow. We might look at the work of the church in our country at the moment, and we might think to ourselves that our mighty cathedrals and churches like ours are like the mighty cedar tree. The author Ken Follett, if you ever read the author Ken Follett, he describes our cathedrals as like forests in stone. And if you look at these columns, you might be inspired to think they do look like a forest in stone, like mighty cedar trees. They look a bit like palm trees, don't they, sort of fossilized in stone. And maybe our great churches bear witness to the faith of our forebears in the past, a sense of strength, permanence, domination, power, wealth. But that's not the vision of the kingdom of God that Jesus presents when he talks about mustard seeds. So the mustard shrub grows all over the Holy Land. It's like a weed. Jesus would have been very familiar with it when he walked around the shores of Galilee. In that respect, I think it's very like Buddleia. We're familiar with Buddleia, aren't we? And people observed after the Blitz in World War II that the Buddleia was the first thing that began to sprout in the Blitz bomb sites of London. The first thing that added a bit of colour, a bit of life, a bit of a promise of new hope where there'd been loss and death and devastation. And in that sense, therefore, the mustard seed is like a Buddleia. The seeds blow, it gets everywhere, it's not cultivated, it's not something that's valued, its wood is of no use to anybody whatsoever. But it gets everywhere, and it's impossible to eradicate. And like the Buddleia, the mustard seed provides somewhere where many different small insects can find food, and as it grows into a sort of a significant shrub, birds and animals can find shelter under its wings. But we'd never say it was beautiful. We'd never say it was the most greatest tree in the forest. It's not something that's going to make us gasp and stop and look with awe and wonder at the tree in our churchyard. So the mighty Lebanon cedar forests have mostly been felled. Those that remain are a few fragile specimens that are threatened by climate change. There are more cedars of Lebanon in Suffolk than there are in Lebanon, because in the 19th century, every worthwhile stately home wanted to plant a few examples. And they're old and creaky now, venerable and vulnerable. So perhaps they do illustrate the church, who knows? But that's what they're like now. But Jesus is saying that's not what the church is called to be. It's not about big, grand, dominant statements. It's about service. It's about love. It's about sacrifice, small acts that are easily overlooked, acts that spread the ministry and the word of God anywhere and everywhere, wherever his people are present, following his call, obeying his will, sowing seeds, bringing colour and light and life in the most unlikely places. That's what he describes the kingdom of God as being like, small, often overlooked, maybe insignificant acts that grow the kingdom. And just going back to the prophecy of Ezekiel, the new sprig planted on the hillside, what will that be? If we look at that passage now, I invite you to turn to it again. So turn to the prophet Ezekiel's writing, the first reading this morning. I will take a sprig from the top of the lofty cedar and set it out. So a sprig from the people of God will be plucked. And I'll break off a tender one from the top, most of its young twigs, and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. We can say from a Christian perspective, perhaps, that that sprig is Christ Jesus planted on the hilltop of Golgotha. And the tree of life that springs from this cedar that God plants is the cross. And from the cross and under its boughs, the fruit will be born and will become a noble cedar, the people of God. Every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I'll bring low the high tree and make high the low tree. I'll dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and I will accomplish it. So we, as members of the kingdom of God, members of his church, are those who are invited to find shelter under his outstretched arms, like those beautiful arms of the cedar tree, arms that provide shelter and welcome to all those fragile birds that seek to find shelter under his wings. And just to conclude, St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "The love of Christ urges us on, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. So as servants of the kingdom of God, we live not for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised for us. So that by our ministry together, by our ministry in the community, by our ministry to others, others too will come to the Lord as small seeds are planted in his name. And together we find shelter under his wings, under his branches."